persona and this beautiful persona and this successor persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam was not subdued and was not cast aside, then the personal whims and desires of certain individuals would have never been achieved nor attained. And so we find in one such place that the Messenger of Allah says that the angel Jibra'il, Gabriel, has conveyed to him a certain message which comes from the Almighty Allah. And that message is, ill-fated is one who is the enemy of Ali alayhi salam, both during his life and after his passing away, and has the rancor for Imam Ali in their heart. And so, dear friends, of course, we find that on one hand, the Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings upon him, has consistently, constantly, repeatedly, on multiple occasions, and these traditions and these sayings which were said in this manner, in a very continuous and repetitive manner, is found both in the books of the Ahla Sunnah brothers, and of course in the books of the Shia brothers as well. But these traditions that come from them and are found in the books of all the Muslims, on one hand you have traditions which speak about loving Imam Ali alayhi salam, and on the other hand you have traditions like these ones and these sayings of the Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings upon him, in which His Eminence talks about one who has enmity for Imam Ali alayhi salam. And what's really interesting is that this universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam is so valuable that the Messenger of Allah, on behalf of the Almighty Allah, is saying that even after the passing away of Imam Ali alayhi salam, if someone is their enemy, then they are ill-fated. They are, you know, they are unfortunate, miserable, ill-fated is one who is the enemy of Imam Ali alayhi salam, both during his life and after his passing away. Now, what's really interesting is that the brothers and sisters out there should really reflect upon this point, that who is considered to be an enemy of Imam Ali, especially during his life? What individuals stood up and fought wars against Imam Ali alayhi salam? And then when you take these individuals into consideration who stood up against Imam Ali alayhi salam, they fought wars against Imam Ali alayhi salam, wars in which thousands of Muslims were killed because these people stood up to fight against Imam Ali alayhi salam. You add that to this tradition and a lot of things become clear for an individual. And so yes, not only loving the universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam is of great importance, but being an enemy of the universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam is highly, highly discouraged, and it is something that one must stay far, far away from. Otherwise, you know, this is something that will lead one towards perdition and total failure in both this world and the next. Very comprehensive and interesting lesson brought to us by the universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam.
Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of iRib English Radio, the program To My Brother. This moment, I invite you to listen to the Arabic text of Ziyara Aminullah along with the English translation. Please stay tuned.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. اللهم إن قلوب المخبتين إليك والها وسبل الراغبين إليك شارعا وعلاهم القاصدين إليك واضحا.
O Allah, verily the hearts of those who surrender to Thee are full of passionate love. The path of those who long for Thee is the straight, true road. The instructions given by those who lead on Thee are distinct and precise. The minds of those who are aware of thy reality are filled with awe and reverence. The call of those who invite unto thee is loud and clear, and the doors of approval are kept open for them. Whoso submits a supplication to thee receives a favorable answer. Whoso turns repentant unto thee gets acceptance and amnesty. Whoso bursts into tears in fear of thy punishment obtains mercy. Whoso seek redress from thee finds the required assistance at his disposal. Whoso asks for thy help procures the aid as a gift. Thy promise made with thy servants is fulfilled. Whoso asks for pardon of his errors finds them reduced to nothing. Whoso does everything for thy sake discovers that each and every deed has been preserved. The means of livelihood available to the created being come from thee like a rainfall, and in addition, many recurring favors and bounties reach them in regular succession. The sin of those who ask for forgiveness are overlooked. The wants and needs of all that which has been created by thee are properly satisfied. Those who put forward genuine demands get more than they ask for, one after the other, again and again. For the hungry, wholesome food is arranged. For the thirsty, clean water is available in abundance. كل صبح وكل شراب ايام تبقى عيني بدمع مشتاق ايام قد لسعت حية الهوى كبدي فلا تبي ولها ولا راغي
And now we invite you to listen to Sayyid Muhammad Ridhvi.
And when Ali becomes the embodiment of the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we can understand why did the Prophet say, An-nadharu ila wajhi Aliyyin ibadah. To look at the blessed face of Ali is an ibadah. Because this is no more the face of Ali, this becomes wajhullah. There's so many narrations by different Sahaba on this issue, even from Aisha, where she was talking to her father one day that, you know, I was noticing that you are sitting there in the company of the Prophet, although the Prophet was there, but you are constantly staring at the face of Ali. What happened? And the father says, you don't know, the Prophet had said, An-nadharu ila wajhi Aliyyin ibadah. I was not looking at the face of Ali. I was doing the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first sin committed in human history according to Quran was which one? You will say Qabil. I'm going even further up. Shaitan. What did he do? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him to do sajda to Adam and he refused. How did he justify that? He said basically, O Allah, you are my Lord, you are my Khaliq, you are my Raziq. I only do sajda to you. I'm not going to do sajda to somebody who is even inferior than me. Maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should have rewarded him. Oh, you are a very good muwahid. No, he becomes a rajim, accursed. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, even if you want to worship me, you will have to worship me the way I want you to worship. You can't make your own choices in my own ways that this is what I think is better. No, because worship means submission, total submission to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so learn this submission from Ali. When Ali stands on Musalla, he is oblivious of the surrounding. His body is here, but his ruh is at the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He can actually sense the jamal of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And a question sometimes comes up, what does it mean? Are you saying Ali saw Allah? No, na'uzu billah, we are not doing shirk here. This will be kufr.
Dear listeners, we hope you enjoyed this episode of To My Brother. Don't forget to visit our website at parstoday.ir/en, Call of Islam page. We leave you in Allah's care. Bye for now.
A diverse range of programs. Spirituality. Youth. Eastern Tales. Roundtable discussions. Culture. Politics. All produced by IRIB English Radio.
Start.
Movement.
Speed.
Live in hope.
Toward the peak.
On Youth Station. Youth Station.
I am a Muslim.
I am a Muslim.
Islamite.
Islamite.
Allah my Lord.
Allah my Lord.
His word Quran.
His word Quran.
Muhammad Prophet.
Muhammad Prophet.
Praise be upon.
Praise be upon.
I am Muslim for all of time.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Salaamu alaikum, dear listeners, and welcome back to your favorite program. And this is Youth Station from IRIB English Radio. I'm Hassanain, your host, and we have a co-host in the studio. Salaamu alaikum, sister.
Wa alaikum salaam. I am Asma, and I'm very happy to be here once more.
By the first verse of the Holy Quran.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
Allah will bless you.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
Protect you.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
Help you.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
So ask His blessings.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
His protection.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
His help.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
Hope y'all are doing well. How can you make our life even better? What do you think?
How can we make life better? Life is life.
Like, what's the difference between the life of human beings and the life of animals? And the life of animals?
Of course, the brain is the difference.
Mm-hmm.
You as human beings would use your brain to make things perfect for yourself or decide, make decisions, and pick things that are going to make your life better.
Okay, so today we want to talk, how can a religion or a deen, you know, can make your life happier?
Very interesting.
There's a reason behind why I ask you the question, like, how is the life of a human being different from the life of an animal?
Mm-hmm.
So what I believe is, deen, what is deen? First of all, we need to look what deen is. So deen is a way of living life.
It's a lifestyle.
As per Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So
Deen gives you a certain set of principles and norms according to which you live your life.
Yeah.
Well, it's living life.
It's the instruction book.
Yeah, the instruction book. Also, even the animals live their life, right? Mm-hmm. So even they sleep, they eat, they roam around the streets, they hang out with their friends. And, you know, even animals do that.
Yeah.
They don't have any set of rules. They can sleep wherever they want. They can go wherever they want.
Yeah.
But, you know, one religion, one deen, it gives you certain principles which you have to abide. So, and, you know, as Islam is a religion from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the purpose is, you know, you have to follow this, you know, so that you reach the sa'adat, you reach the happiness, you reach
prosperity.
The kamal and prosperity.
So there comes a question. So you said that we need a religion to have a happier life. But mm-hmm. then maybe among the audience, there would be a person who's living in the Western societies and tell you that our neighbors are all atheists.
Mm-hmm.
Still, they have a society and they're living together mm-hmm. happily, perhaps, because they seem so.
Mm-hmm.
They do not believe in anything. They do not have any borders. So they are happier than me who have a border. You know what I mean?
You know, sometimes, like, you know, some people seem to be happier, but they're actually not. From the inside, they're actually in the depression. As you said, you know, mentioned the Western society.
Yeah.
Most of the atheists are we find in, you know, the Western areas. So, but even the West is the largest consumer of, you know, stress pills and depression pills. You know, some people seem to be happy. That's why I try to, you know, distinguish a life of a human being and a life of animals. Because, you know, they don't have any borders, right?
Yeah.
Even, yeah, there's the same case with the animals. You're a human being. You have certain rules and regulations, you know, or else, you know, if everyone says that I don't want any borders, I do not have any rules and regulations, I live my life however the way I want.
Yeah, maybe you would imagine, be happy for
imagine,
just
now,
one
imagine,
or 2 years.
Now imagine a certain group of people.
Mm-hmm.
They are saying this, you know, I don't want any rules and regulations.
Yeah.
Imagine tomorrow, if everyone says that, there will be a disaster in this world.
Anarchy would happen.
You know, if everyone says that, you know, I don't want any borders. You know, I won't abide to any rules and regulations. There will be a disaster in the world.
So, you know, those who are atheists do believe in the laws
mm-hmm.
that their society would rectify for them.
Okay, so you say that they believe in the, you know, the laws of the country.
Yeah.
But they don't believe in any religious law.
Exactly.
Like, you know, maybe...
Just like the humanistic idea and point of view of people back in time. When they started their humanistic point of view, they said that as a human being, you put yourself in the center of every single thing and forget about other things.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, as you have mentioned, you know, that they abide to the country's laws, but they don't have any religious laws. So, I would like to mention that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you know, Islam is the nature of a human being. You know, it's in the fitrat, it's in the nature of a human being.
Yeah.
So, and as I've mentioned earlier, you know, some people seem to be happy, but they're actually not. You know, even if he tells you that he's happy, but, you know, deep inside, he knows himself.
I guess every single one of us knows the truth deep down. And I right now would like to ask the audience a question. Just think about it. Imagine that you can forget about all the religions and be free. So what? After a year, after 2 years, so what? Wouldn't this be your question? Okay, this was the end of it. I crossed all the borders right now, so what? So, to get the answer, let's go for a short break and then we'll be back.
Welcome back to your audience. And before the break, we were talking about, you know, Islam being the nature of a human being.
Mm-hmm.
So over here, when Islam is the nature of a human being, when Allah has set a certain set of rules and regulations, so Allah knows what is best for the human beings. So when you live according to that, mm-hmm. according to the principles that what are best for you, so definitely you're going to have a better life and a happier life. So, you know, when you don't have any religion,
yeah,
you don't have any principles. Or rather, I would say you don't have any rules and regulations. When you don't have any rules and regulations, you can do whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
You don't have any limitations. You don't have any borders. So when you don't have any borders, you do anything you want. And, you know, some of the things that, you know, that they've been forbidden in the religion of Islam.
Yeah.
So if anything is forbidden, it has been forbidden for a reason.
Exactly.
And, you know, consumption of alcohol, you know, it is bad for your health. It is injurious to your health. And, you know, adultery and all, you know, it creates a mishap. Everything's been done by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a reason.
Exactly, yeah. Even Allah himself says in the holy book of Quran that إِنَّا هَدَيْنَاهُ السَّبِيلِ إِمَّا شَاكِرًا وَإِمَّا كَفُورًا. So that means naturally, instinctively, we all know about the truth and about the wrong path, which mm-hmm. leads to hell. So it is our decision to pick it, which one we'd like more. And just as you said, if there is any rule in a religion, it is for our benefit, because we know that, for example, if I lie, there would be a consequence for that lie. And it's not going to end that, because I have to say more of lies. Maybe I have to commit other sins in the way of protecting that lie. So it's not going to get into a happy ending. If I do this or that, whatever the wrong thing that has been mentioned in the holy book, so if we have been asked not to do them, mm-hmm. it has got a reason for that. And it is the reason behind that is that I'm not going to end up happily. And it is for my benefit to take it into consideration that this thing or that thing is just considered as a sin and is going to pollute my soul.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because, exactly. It pollutes you because even the research says, you know, like music, let's talk about music.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
The youth is much into music, right? So even, you know, this hip-hop and, you know, these bands and all.
Harsh music that would really
distract you. Yeah,
these harsh
music, like, you know, with high bass and all. You know, even the research says, you know, these type of musics, they lead one to depression and committing crimes.
Exactly.
So, you know, these things, as once again I'm mentioning it, you know, the things that have been forbidden by Allah, they are for a reason. They, you know, even, you know, if you get involved in it, you know, it destroys you. It pollutes a human being's mind.
So, right now, we came to this conclusion that if I live freely with no rules, then I'm not going to be happy. Maybe the thing that I show to other people is that I'm a happy person. I'm doing every single thing I want. But deep down, I feel so sad of the result of the things that I have done or of the emptiness that I feel in my life because I do not believe in anything. Mm-hmm. And when you do not believe in anything, then you do not have a thing to stick to.
Yeah.
In your hard days, in your rainy days. And when you do not have that source of motivation in your life, then you truly are depressed. And life feels so empty.
Exactly, right? You know, as we were talking about atheists, where will he go when he's in depression, when he's broke, when he loses hope? Where will he go?
Yeah. Many of them end up going for suicide.
Exactly. And if you're lost in a desert, if you're lost in the middle of the sea,
yeah,
we have someone to call upon. Like, we call, like, oh, Lord, like, save us.
Yeah, we have hope in something.
Yeah,
at least.
We have hope in something. And what will the atheist do?
Mm-hmm.
Even the atheist, you know, in the corner of his heart, he will have a hope that someone will save me.
Yeah.
And Imam mentions that someone is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Thank you.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Youth Station.
You know, when a person, when a human being goes through trials and tribulations, and he has some hope that something will save him,
mm-hmm.
that someone or something is God, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
So we got that. There is no doubt that for a prosperous life, we need a religion. We need a set of rules. We need someone to believe in. We need someone to stick on. Right now that I believe that, can I live happily with a religion?
The answer again depends upon the circumstances, upon the situations.
And how truthful you are, I guess.
No. I'm not talking about, you know, this. I'm talking from the other way around. You know, if you have a religion, you know, if there are no obstructions, yes, it leads to a happy life. You know, you're following your religion, you're living in a you know, good manner, good way, you know, it leads to a happy life. But you, if you're religious, you know, you might face problems from the people that are not religious.
Uh-huh.
You know, people might become your enemy because of your faith.
Yeah.
So,
I got your angle.
It depends upon the circumstances.
Yes, yeah, that's very true. But still, if you have faith in the only one who's going to help
nothing will make a difference if you have that strong faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This was all we spoke about today. So, and we came to a conclusion, you know, deen is a way of living life as per Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we live life accordingly as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has advised us. This leads us to a happy life. This was all the time we had for today, and we'll see you another day with another topic. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
In the limelight.
Former U.S. President Donald Trump will not testify in writer E. Jean Carroll's civil defamation and battery case against him, after a Sunday afternoon deadline passed without the former president filing a motion to reopen the case. We take a look at the U.S. media's coverage of this issue. Please stay with us. The national broadcaster CBS News has covered this story and tells us more. Former President Donald Trump rejected his last chance on Sunday, 7th of May, to testify at a civil trial where a longtime advice columnist has accused him of raping her in a luxury department store dressing room in 1996. Donald Trump, a Republican candidate for president in 2024, was given until 5 p.m. on Sunday, 7th of May, by U.S. District Judge Lewis Kaplan to file a request to testify, but nothing was filed. It was not a surprise. Donald Trump has not shown up once during the two-week Manhattan trial, where writer E. Jean Carroll testified for several days, repeating claims that she first made publicly in a 2019 memoir. She is seeking compensatory and punitive damages totaling millions of dollars. The jury has also watched lengthy excerpts from an October videotape deposition in which Donald Trump vehemently denied raping E. Jean Carroll or even really knowing her. Without Trump's testimony, lawyers were scheduled to make closing arguments on Monday, with deliberations likely to begin on Tuesday, 9th of May. After plaintiffs rested their case on Thursday, Trump attorney Joe Tacopina immediately rested the defense case as well as without calling any witnesses. He did not request additional time for Donald Trump to decide to testify. Joe Tacopina declined in an email to comment after the deadline passed on Sunday, 7th of May. On Thursday, U.S. District Judge Lewis Kaplan had given Donald Trump extra time to change his mind and request to testify. Though the judge did not promise he would grant such a request to reopen the defense case so Trump could take the stand. At the time, Judge Lewis Kaplan noted that he'd heard about news reports on Thursday in which Donald Trump told reporters while visiting his golf course in Doonbeg, Ireland, that he would probably attend the trial. Trump also criticized Judge Kaplan, a Bill Clinton appointee, as an extremely hostile and rough judge who doesn't like me very much. On the witness stand, E. Jean Carroll, 79 years old, testified that Donald Trump, 76 years old, raped her in spring of 1996 after they met at the entrance of the Midtown Manhattan department store Bergdorf Goodman. She said the encounter began as a fun and flirtatious outing as Trump coaxed her into helping him shop for a gift for another woman. She said they ended up in the store's desolate lingerie section where they teased each other to try on a see-through bodysuit. As E. Jean Carroll recalled it, laughter accompanied them into the dressing room where Donald Trump became violent, slamming her against the wall and trying to sexually assault her. In his deposition, Donald Trump said E. Jean Carroll made it up. He called it a false, disgusting lie delivered by a nutjob who was trying to stoke sales of her book. He also repeated comments he made in statements that she was not his type. "She's not my type, and that's 100% true," he said. And he repeated his claims in a 2005 Access Hollywood video in which he bragged that men who are celebrities can sexually assault women. "Historically, that's true with stars," he said. E. Jean Carroll sued Donald Trump in November, minutes after New York State enacted a law allowing adult sexual assault victims to sue others even if the attacks occurred decades ago. E. Jean Carroll's attorney, Roberta Kaplan, wrote a letter to the judge on Sunday to complain that Donald Trump still has not removed April 26 post on his social media network in which he called Carroll's allegations a made-up scam. And she noted that he repeated disparaging remarks about the trial 3 days ago in Ireland. After the 26th of April posting on Truth Social, Judge Kaplan, who is not related to E. Jean Carroll's lawyer, said Trump's comments were highly inappropriate and expressed concern that Donald Trump was trying to communicate to the jury about stuff that has no business being spoken about. The U.S. national broadcaster ABC News has also covered the same story and tells us more. Donald Trump will not testify in writer E. Jean Carroll's civil defamation and battery case against him after a Sunday afternoon deadline passed without the former president filing a motion to reopen the case. The two sides each rested their cases on Friday after Donald Trump declined to testify in his own defense, but Judge Lewis Kaplan gave Donald Trump until Sunday, 7th of May, to reconsider. Setting an afternoon deadline for Trump to file a motion to reopen the case for the sole purpose of testifying, in light of remarks that Donald Trump made while golfing in Europe, suggesting he would return to New York to confront his accuser. E. Jean Carroll, who brought the lawsuit in November, alleges that Donald Trump defamed her in his Truth Social post by calling her allegations a hoax and a lie, and saying, "This woman is not my type," when he denied her claim that Trump raped her in a Bergdorf Goodman dressing room in the 1990s. The former Elle magazine columnist added a charge of battery under a recently adopted New York law that allows adult survivors of sexual abuse to sue their alleged attacker regardless of the statute of limitations. Donald Trump has denied all the allegations that he raped E. Jean Carroll or defamed her. Each side is expected to deliver closing statements on Monday. The judge is then expected to charge the jury on Tuesday, 9th of May, followed by the start of deliberations. This month's trial is taking place as Donald Trump seeks the White House for a third time, while facing numerous legal challenges related to the 6th of January Capitol attack, his handling of classified material after leaving the White House, and possible attempts to interfere in Georgia's 2020 presidential election.
This is A to Z. An introduction to an Islamic lifestyle. Today's lesson, ways of success through religion. In the name of God, the most gracious, the most merciful, may his peace and blessings be upon Muhammad and his pure, immaculate Ahlul Bayt. Salaamu alaikum, dear brothers and sisters. You are listening to A to Z, IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page. I'm Farhad, your host, and I'm very honored to have you as my listener. We are going to start our program today with a question, and that is, please teach me the way to success and tell me how I can attain happiness. I'm a young man, I would like to see myself in the best position in this life and in the afterlife. What is the way to that? Everyone has an opinion, but I, because of my young age, do not know which opinion is the best. Very clever question. To answer this question, I would like to say that the way to a successful life begins with you. The beginning is itself, which, if you change, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help you reach success and happiness. But if you leave it to do as it pleases, you will never reach whatever it is you dream of. Therefore, I would like to guide you to some principles that we can gain them through our religion, through Quran and our hadiths. Firstly, you need to discover yourself. In this life, you can be great and your mention will be recorded in the list of the great if you can only discover your own talents and abilities. It's a very important point. And secondly, when you assign an aim to yourself, know that you not only need accurate thinking, but you also need a strong spirit and high determination to help you reach the advanced steps in the way of success. The source of this strong spirit and high determination is the true belief that connects you with Allah the Almighty, intellectually and practically. To get the source, you have to recite the Quran deeply and ponderingly and have to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the heart of the night and offer night powers, because saying night powers and worshipping God in the heart of night will bring us ease and peace, and this is the golden key for every kind of success. Welcome back, dear brothers and sisters. You're listening to A to Z, IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page. I'm Farhad, your host, and I'm very honored to have you with me. In the previous part, we were talking about the ways of being successful in life. And the first way and the first quality that we have to carry it is to discover ourselves and also discover our own talents and abilities and organize our time based on what we have from talents and abilities. And secondly, we need a strong spirit and a very high determination if we want to be successful in our life. And this high determination, this strong spirit, comes from a true belief in Allah and following the rules of Allah that Allah has said to His Prophet and also Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam, and they have declared those rules to us. By following them, we can gain the strong spirit and a very high determination to move through our goals and achieve them, inshallah. But thirdly, to be a successful person, we need to keep our success safe from pleasures, and we have to be aware of the pleasures. As an example, if you want to mention some of them, I can say bad friends, imagining oneself to be ill, putting off the work of today until tomorrow, and also convincing ourselves to retreat from doing good deeds and not acquiring new information that concerns us, are the main obstacles that we face and it will stop us from achieving our goals. It's very important, especially the last one, because we mainly put our time for gathering many things, but we rarely put our time to acquire new information that concerns us. And the most important information are required from Quran and Hadiths. So it's obligation, it's a kind of obligation for everyone to put at least one day a week to study about religion, to study about the ways that our religion offers us to achieve a very successful life. So it's very, so by studying them, by going through Quran and our Ahadith, we can learn the way of living. And if we live the life in the correct way, we will definitely reach what we want from successfulness. Thank you for being with us.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parstoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
English Radio, a window to peace of mind and spirituality. You can tune in to IRIB English Radio 24 hours a day. We are with you. Are you with us? Are you with us? Are you with us? This is our voice from the heart of the Islamic Republic of Iran, IRIB English Radio.
In the limelight.
In Britain, Prime Minister Rishi Sunak is facing a backlash from his own party after hundreds of Tory councillors lost their seats in local elections. We take a look at the British media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. The British newspaper The Telegraph has covered this story. In Britain, Prime Minister Rishi Sunak is facing a growing backlash after he suffered a disastrous set of local elections as hundreds of Tory councillors lost their seats. The Prime Minister admitted the results were disappointing, but said he did not believe there had been a massive groundswell of movement towards the Labour Party. While Labour leader Sir Keir Starmer declared that his party's fantastic results showed that Labour was on course to win the next general election, some pollsters said Sir Keir Starmer had not done enough to be confident of outright victory. Meanwhile, Sir Ed Davey, the Liberal Democrats leader, refused to rule out joining the Labour Party in a coalition if there is a hung parliament. As of 2:30 a.m. in the early hours of Saturday morning, 6th of May, the Conservatives had lost 960 councillors and lost control of 48 councils, while the Labour Party had gained 635 seats and gained 22 councils. The Liberal Democrats had gained 12 councils and 416 councillors. With all but two seats declared, the Conservatives were on a total of 2,287 councillors and 33 councils, while Labour were on 2,652 councillors and they controlled 71 councils, and the Liberal Democrats, with 1,615 councillors, were in control of 29 councils. On Friday, 5th of May, in what the Liberal Democrats called the Portillo moment of the election, the party took control of Michael Gove's local council of Surrey Heath. Sir Ed Davey's party are hopeful of taking a swathe of blue wall seats from Tory heartlands at the next general election. Other prominent Conservatives with Surrey seats include Jeremy Hunt and Dominic Raab. A party source said Liberal Democrats have won big in Michael Gove's backyard of Surrey Heath, taking control from the Conservatives. This is the Michael Portillo moment of these local elections. Senior Conservative cabinet members are now looking nervously over their shoulders at the Liberal Democrats. Also on Friday, 5th of May, Labour overtook the Conservatives to become the largest party in local government in Britain. They now have more seats than the Tories across England. As well as illustrating the party's strength across the country, it means they will take control of the local government association. Labour snatched seats from the Tories in the Red Wall in the north of England, and the Lib Dems took seats in the southern Blue Wall. The Tories lost Medway to Labour, who will run the Kent Council for the first time since 1988. With the outgoing Conservative Council leader telling Number 10 Downing Street to get their act together on multiple fronts. The Conservatives also lost Stratford-upon-Avon, the seat of Naveem Zahawi, the former Chancellor. Also to go were Hertsmere district of Oliver Dowden, the Deputy Prime Minister, and Welwyn Garden City and Hatfield, the area of Grant Shapps, the Energy Secretary. Labour gained the totemic Red Wall Council of Stoke-on-Trent, as well as winning Plymouth, along with Middlesbrough Mayor. Hailing the results, Sir Keir Starmer said Labour blew the doors off in places such as Medway, adding, "Make no mistake, we're on course for a Labour Party majority at the next general election." Rishi Sunak is facing a growing backlash after preemptively blaming the losses on the box set drama that engulfed the Conservatives during the premierships of Boris Johnson and Liz Truss, instead of addressing the party's current problems. Responding to the results, Rishi Sunak said, "It is always disappointing to lose hard-working Conservative councillors. I'm not detecting any massive groundswell of movement towards the Labour Party or excitement for their agenda. What people want us to do is focus on their priorities." Hugh Merriman, a transport minister, said constituents were complaining to him about older news about former prime ministers. Asked if the poor showing was Boris Johnson and Liz Truss's fault, Hugh Merriman said, "Certainly on the doorstep, the feedback I got was that we are in a better place. The opinion polls show They show that as well, people are reacting in a more positive way towards Rishi Sunak. But one conservative source said Rishi Sunak can't blame these results on last year's chaos. He started that chaos by knifing the most successful Tory election winner in the past 50 years. Sunak's claim that stability has been restored is shot to bits. These results are on track to be catastrophic for the Conservative Party and worse than before the change of leader. Others demanded he change policies if he is to have a chance of winning the next election. Sir John Redwood, the former cabinet minister, called for an emergency budget. He told The Telegraph, disillusioned Tory voters just don't think we care about them. The endless tax attacks with everything from motoring taxes to VAT on fuel to the stealth taxes on income are deeply unpopular. People are very unhappy with the lack of progress so far, lack of progress on growth, on inflation, on taxes and on migration. Sir Christopher Chope, the MP for Christchurch since 1997, added, "My view is we can't carry on like this. We need to change direction and make it clear to people what we stand for." Another Tory MP urged Rishi Sunak to go beyond managerial competence to set out his vision, while a fourth added, "When you do worse than your top loss prediction, something's gone badly wrong." Newspaper The Guardian has also covered the same story. What I'm hearing on the doorstep is that people are giving Rishi Sunak a chance. The Conservative Party chairman, Greg Hands, insisted in the face of a disastrous night for the Conservative Party. Among Conservative MPs with positive spin on the loss of hundreds and possibly as much as 1,000 Tory seats was not going down well on Friday. Some have even bluntly admitted the terribleness of the results. Johnny Mercer, the MP for Plymouth Moor, where Labour gained the local council, gave the most direct admonition to his party that it would need to learn from this and make a material difference to the quality of people's lives. What Rishi Sunak will need to worry about in the short term to medium term is whether his backbenchers are prepared to give him time to turn things around in the face of an increasingly likely general election win for Labour. If the view takes hold that a Labour victory against Rishi Sunak is inevitable, some Conservative MPs will in effect throw in the towel, take on second jobs and mentally check out of politics for the next year. One Tory MP with a relatively safe southern seat said his main reaction was mulling his own private sector job options, given his lack of appetite for a stint in the opposition. But others will want to put up a last-ditch fight, either by attempting to oust Rishi Sunak or pushing his politics towards their own ideological leanings that they think will be more successful with the electorate. In Prime Minister's favour, the only credible candidate as a replacement is Boris Johnson, who was ousted just 12 months ago by his MPs over an avalanche of scandals from Partygate to failure to deal with sexual harassment within his government. Certainly, there is a circle of diehard Boris Johnson fans congregating around the newly formed Conservative Democratic Organisation, or CDO, presided over by the donor Peter Cruddas and backed by the former Home Secretary Priti Patel. David Campbell Bannerman, a former Tory MEP and chair of the Conservative Democratic Organisation, CDO, told BBC that it was not a case of bringing back Boris Johnson, but that the party should not rule that out as an option in the long term, as so many members and the public still like him. David Campbell Bannerman later hardened his line, calling for a confirmatory vote of members for Rishi Sunak, adding, It was MP self-preservation that got rid of Boris Johnson. They thought they'd be better off without him. And now it's going to be MP self-preservation getting him back again. We're well adrift, and I'm afraid that it has been because Boris Johnson has been brought down with all the turbulence that resulted from it, and Rishi Sunak is in the frame for that. A conservative source, not from the Rishi Sunak wing of the party, said Sunak can't blame these results on last year's chaos. He started that chaos by knifing the most successful Tory election winner in the past 50 years. Sunak's claim that stability has been restored has been shot to bits. These results are on track to be catastrophic for the Conservative Party and worse than before the change of leader.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
Hame ba wujood qudde saratani Israel mukhalifim.
All of us are opposed to the cancer's tumor, Israel.
Wajh mushtarak hame wahdat ummat islami.
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
Ideal University Student brings change in thinking and reality of the society and world. The following is part of the speech delivered by the leader of the Islamic Revolution in a meeting with university students and representatives of student associations in the Imam Khomeini Hosseiniya on April 18th, 2023. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. All praise is due to God, Lord of the worlds, and peace and greetings be upon our Master, Muhammad, and upon his pure progeny, particularly the vestige of God remaining on earth. My expectation from this meeting was that the talks would be well-founded and presented using a proper literature, and praise God, this is what happened. I might not agree with some of the things you have said, but I am very happy with the quality of your talks and the organization of the content, and I am thankful to God for this. Well, it is the end of the month of Ramadan. You have had the opportunity to sit down, think, study, and organize your content. If there were time, I wouldn't mind if another 10 people spoke too. However, we are gradually approaching the time for breaking the fast, and the things I have to say in our meeting would be left unfinished. Before I begin, I would like to say a couple of things about the same things that you spoke about. First of all, a number of people sent their greetings to me. I would like to ask you to send my greetings to the brothers and sisters who asked you to send their greetings to me, especially the families of the martyrs. As for my birthday, it really isn't worthy of consideration. It is a very small and insignificant event.
دنیای اسلام یک نسخه امروز دارد و اون اتحاد.
The world of Islam has one single prescription today. And that is unity. This prescription exists in all Islamic countries. Nations should be united.
Some matters were stated as complaints, problems, and recommendations, which should be discussed. So where should these things be discussed? They are not very clear or definite. They can be broken down and discussed. It seems to me that we transfer your suggestions to the planning and budget organization, in which some new activity has started, so they can attend to them. This would be a good approach. You can convey what has been said to them, or we can. Our office can act as a mediator and convey these talks to them and ask you to go there and discuss things with them. God willing, you will come to an acceptable common conclusion. Regarding the issue of privatization, which some friends mentioned here and which was repeated, and the same is being said outside, the logic that you used is incorrect. They took some wrong actions. Well, yes, any good law can be applied incorrectly. If we hand over the country's facilities